As Christmas 2020 approaches, WUWF is presenting an encore presentation of a 2006 interview with historian and storyteller John Appleyard, who died in October of this year at the age of 97. During his lifetime, Appleyard penned dozens of books and delivered countless talks about Pensacola's past. In my interview 14 years ago, I talked with him about Christmas in Pensacola around the turn of the 20th century.
Give us some idea, just an overview of what Christmas was like that time ago.
100 years ago, Pensacola was a bustling, successful, prosperous city, a city of roughly 25,000 people, plus or minus a couple. It was a diverse population, and many of these people had come bringing their own Christmas customs, which became amalgamated in the overall celebration. And some of the things that we think about in the year 2006 were there 100 years ago, but they were practiced somewhat differently. For example, just to pick up some of the basic traditions, the Christmas tree, people didn't go down to the corner and buy a tree ready on the lot or buy one in a box and take it home and set it up. They went out into the woods. They cut their own tree. And part of the celebration and the frustration, I suspect, was when Dad had to put that thing on something of a stand and make it stand in the center of the room. Then he went about putting up the lighting. Most of Pensacola 100 years ago did not have electricity. And consequently, all of the lights were little 6-inch candles, which were put in little metal cups and attached to the branches of the trees. And then, of course, the rest of the decoration went around that. The decoration then would have been, in part, the importation of glass, blown glass ornaments coming primarily from Germany and Austria, although the idea of strung popcorn and other things of that kind was very popular then. All of this went together. Dad was responsible for the lighting and the tree itself, and Mom and the children were the ones that put the rest of it on. Now, Dad had one final responsibility. When all was ready, he had to go out into the backyard and get a bucket full of sand, which he put in the corner, and that was the fire extinguisher, just in case something went wrong.
Fire protection was a necessary thing.
Fire protection was rudimentary in our city at that time. It was all still done by volunteer fire departments, although they were under a fire chief. So basically, these 6-inch candles that we're talking about were burned just a few minutes at a few critical times within the celebration of Christmas itself. When the whole family was together, that would happen. They didn't light the candles and then simply walk away from them as you would the lights today. So that was part of it. Now, mother and the children, and particularly the young women in the family, enjoyed decorating in other ways. And so, number one, there were plenty of examples here of greens that could be cut. The holly, of course, was part of Pensacola's tradition. We had a lot of different kinds of ivy, and that could be put around. And a number of the people who lived here in that time, their families had come from Virginia. The famed Virginia creeper was a very ubiquitous thing in Virginia. So friends would send big boxes of this greenery to Pensacola here, and the ladies would take it, and that's what they would stream above the windows, above the doors. A very colorful thing, and just a very lovely addition to the entire house.
A big part of Christmas is the food, and you say the women really had the responsibility for that. Not much has changed there, huh?
Well, not much has changed, but the way that they do it has changed radically. Now, for example, today the butterball turkey is the thing that many families will have on Christmas Day. There probably weren't 100 families overall that had a turkey 100 years ago. Basically, fowl, of course, was the primary ingredient of the feast, but ducks and geese were the things that people liked the most, because turkeys had not been grown domestically down here at all, and consequently they were late in coming. Chickens, of course, might be part of it. And of course, a lot of people enjoyed ham, and a few people might enjoy venison. But the part that the women got into, of course, was planning ahead, because 100 years ago, fruitcake was a big part of Christmas. And you don't just go into the kitchen this afternoon and whip up a fruitcake. That's a work of art that took weeks and weeks of the various elements going into it. And they didn't just bake one fruitcake. They baked enough for their friends, their neighbors, their relatives, and, of course, to enjoy for the balance of the entire winter season. This was the sort of thing that people enjoyed baking and giving to others and sharing with others, because the idea of one of the parts of Christmas that was so wonderful in those days, and much more so, I'm afraid, than it is today, was the idea of visitation. Because before and after, the people loved to go back and forth, and taking little gifts back and forth to one another. And the idea of making things for Christmas was a part of the whole heritage. And this was true of gifts as well as food. Now, what they served in a Christmas dinner, well, It's hard to believe the extent of the menus that they, some of the more affluent families would publish on what was being served on Christmas Day. It was something that make you realize quickly why the men had grown to 250 pounds on average. It must have been 25 different courses from beginning to end. And they just enjoyed every part of it, of course. But a lot of this was done in advance by the women. You have to remember now, these women were not working on a handsome electric range or a brand new chef's gas range. They were working on a plain old wood or coal cook stove. And controlling that oven to do these things was a work of art. But that's the way it was done. And, of course, they had to work in advance and in many cases had to work out very special arrangements for preserving these things. Because, once again, there's no refrigerator. You've got a spring house, perhaps, on the property. But that's the only way you could really take care of the material that you had made in advance. So each family would probably have three or four different kinds of pies and two or three different cakes. And, of course, what they made for the principal meal that day was something that they could eat off of, if that's the right term, for days after that.
Well, Mr. Appleyard, thank you, and Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you.
Historian and storyteller John Appleyard talking about how Christmas was celebrated in Pensacola in the early 1900s. He died earlier this year at age 97. I'm Sandra Averhart, WUWF News.